That was not filmed at Stony Creek Church. In case you're wondering that anybody might be embarrassed or put on the spot. Well, good morning. Good to see you today. You want to get your outline out that you so that you can follow along with today's message. The story is told of three boys on their school playground talking about their dads. And you know how it is. Small kids will brag about whose dad is the best. And that's what these kids were doing. And the first boy said, "My dad works as a freelance newspaper article writer. He types up some words on his computer, he sends it into the paper, and he can get hundreds of dollars for that." The second boy said, "Well, I can beat that. My dad writes music for commercials and stuff, and he pounds out a little jingle on his keyboard and sends it into a producer, and he can get thousands of dollars for that." And the third boy said, "Oh, yeah? Well, I can beat that. My dad is a pastor, and he types up a sermon, and when he delivers it on Sunday morning, it takes 8 ushers to collect all the money that comes in." Well, today is part 3 in our series, Church Taboos and Sacred Cows. And this morning, we're talking about that dreaded subject of tithing. And so if this is your first time at Stony Creek Church, you should know that this is your lucky Sunday. Because it's actually quite rare that I do a sermon on this topic. I mention it from time to time, but it's been a while since I've done actually a whole message on this topic. It's not my favorite subject. Because it is so often abused and misunderstood. In fact, if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, "All churches ever talk about is money." You've probably heard that too. If I had a dollar for every time somebody said that to me, I could probably pay my yearly tithe all in one fell swoop. Some have actually criticized me for not talking enough about giving. And so there may be some truth in that. But this series, I think we're having a little trouble with this microphone here, kind of crackling. So I could just hold one, or maybe Frank wants to give me a different one. Okay, the announcement microphone. Here it comes. Thank you very much. Is it on already? It's not yet on. Well, I will turn it on, and you guys can see how things work here. All right, give you a little lesson. You get this guy on here, and I'm going to have this thing dangling, so just be prepared. Don't freak out or anything. There we go. I'll tuck it in for you. Are we all good back there, Frank? Okay, we can turn this one off. All right, now I forgot where I was. Jesus talked a lot about giving and money. And, of course, the Bible talks a lot about that. And so that means I need to talk about it. But I will say this. If you're not a Christian, you're just checking out Christianity, wondering if it's for you. You're not a committed Christ follower, then I want to tell you that this message is not actually directly for you. This message is for our members and regular attendees. If you're visiting today, you're a Christian and you're visiting today, this message is for our regular attendees and members here at Stony. So for the non-Christ follower, you can sit back and learn what God's Word expects from people who have devoted themselves to Jesus Christ and to serving his body, the body of Christ. Our message today is entitled, Reasons for Not Tithing. I want to address what I would consider to be the top three objections that I have heard for not giving a tenth, not tithing. First, let's be clear on what the definition is of tithing. What do I mean when I use this word? It's not used very much in everyday speech in the world today. What do I mean by tithing? Well, tithing is giving 10% of your annual income to your local church. That's what I mean by tithing when I mention that here today. The word tithe, of course, simply means tenth. And the biblical basis, or part of it, comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. And you can help me out when we come to the yellow words. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Let's look at three reasons for not tithing. The first one is point number one on your outline, and it goes like this. I give to God in other ways, so I don't need to tithe. There are many ways to give to the Lord's work. And I'm very happy to say that Stony Creek Church is filled with great examples of this. Look, for example, at Corey and Amanda McCluskey. Now, Corey is our children's ministry director. And in addition to a full-time job, four kids, very active kids, a new house that they bought not long ago, Corey spends many hours per week of his precious time leading, organizing, and training the teachers and workers that serve every Sunday here in our Adventureland program for our kids. That is a tremendous commitment of time and energy, and it never ends. Sunday is relentless, whether you're ready for it or not. It comes every week. Another one is Don Weaver. Don is not here today because he and his family is on vacation. You see Don over to the left here. Don is our worship leader. He spends many hours every week organizing our praise team so that we can have the great talented musicians up here leading us in worship every Sunday. In fact, today you notice that Amanda was leading our worship and helping out again in another great area where she serves, Amanda McCluskey. And so sometimes people will think in terms of one or the other. They'll think, you know, I serve, I donate a lot of time to the church, and so I really don't need to give financially. Or the opposite. Some people will say, I give financially, I give 10%, and so I don't need to serve in a ministry. Or some people will say, you know, I donate other things to the ministry here at the church, and so I don't need to give 10% financially. After all, isn't there more than one way to give to the Lord's work? Answer, absolutely. Absolutely there is. And I do want to commend and encourage and thank all of you that give in various ways here at Stony. I'd encourage you to, if you're not already doing so, to offer that as an act of worship to the Lord. Because that's what it's supposed to be. It's fantastic. Keep it up. Don't let anyone discourage or hold you back from doing that, because it truly is giving to the Lord. But don't stop there. Because the biblical principle of tithing is that we tithe of everything God gives. Our time, our talents, and our treasures. Not one or the other, but both and all. Look at what Jacob said in Genesis chapter 28, verse 22. Of all that you give me, notice that word all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Not just income, not just talent, not just time, but all of what God gives. This is why we here at Stony Creek Church ask members to commit, not just to tithe of their income, but to serve in a regular weekly ministry here at the church, to use their gifts and their talent and their time for the Lord's work. You see, when we give to God, it's not for His benefit. It's for ours. He doesn't need what we give, but He knows that we need to give. It's good for us. It makes us depend more on Him. It makes us more like Him because God is, of course, the greatest giver of all. Look at what 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14 says. Why don't we read this one together? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. I love that verse. But notice that in addition to giving of our time and our talents, God also expects us to give of our income. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 say this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Let's read verse 10 together. Then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. You like some good wine? Well, here's the way to get it. Notice two crucial applications of this little passage. First, it tells us to give to honor God. That's why we give. In Old Testament times, God's people brought their tithes to the temple. Today, we bring our tithes to church. But in fact, it's not to a man or to an organization that we should think of ourselves as giving. We're giving to God. The money that we give here at Stony Creek Church, of course, goes for the ministry, goes to, you know, keeping the building up, and to making more and better followers of Jesus in this community and beyond. It goes to help our missionaries who spread the Word of God on the foreign mission fields. And so we need to remember that when we're giving, we're giving to the Lord. It's not just paying a bill. Secondly, from this passage, this passage teaches us to give off the top, not just what's left over. That's what Debbie and I have done for nearly 28 years of our marriage. The Lord's tithe comes first, before the mortgage, before the groceries, before the utilities, before anything else, because God says to honor Him with the very first and the very best. If we don't have enough left over, oh well, something has to go. Guess Megan doesn't get to eat that week. That's why she's so skinny, you know? No. But never the Lord's tithe. We have to adjust in other ways. Well, then, okay, fine. Because we're not giving to people. It's not the church. It's to God we're giving. And though we're not rich, we've never been in debt. All the mouths have been filled. We have clothing. The bills are all paid. And so the answer to the person who says, I don't tithe because I give to God in other ways, the biblical response, and this is on your outline, the answer is give back to God a tithe of everything. Everything He gives, including your income. So we need to broaden the perspective here. The second reason for not tithing that we commonly hear today, number two on your outline, tithing is not for Christians today. A popular teaching going around says that tithing was just for God's people in the Old Testament. Maybe some of you have heard this. As part of the law of Moses, and this part is of course true, people were required to tithe. But today, so the argument goes, under grace, Christians are not required to tithe, but to give whatever God lays on their heart. After all, doesn't the New Testament plainly say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Doesn't it say that? Well, of course it says it. You just saw it up on the screen. Well, through the years, I've had people point this verse out to me and some other verses. And I've had people send me long emails and sit me down and try to convince me that encouraging people to tithe is putting people under the law of Moses. And I've heard this viewpoint in very different venues. Several of the, or at least a couple of the local Christian talk radio hosts espouse this view and promote it very vigorously. But I respectfully disagree with it, and let me explain to you why. The bottom line is, and this is the answer on your outline, tithing is a principle for all believers everywhere in every time. It's a principle. How so? Well, let's look at several different points here. First, tithing started with Abraham, not with the Mosaic law. Abraham, of course, lived before the law, some 400 years before the law was given. And Abraham is not just some random Old Testament character. In the New Testament, Abraham is called the father of all who believe. And look what it says in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, about Abraham. At this point, he was called Abram. Then Abram gave him, he's talking about Melchizedek, a tenth of everything. This is really where the practice starts. In the New Testament, Abraham's life of faith is considered a pattern for the Christian life, a way of walking by faith. The second reason I would give under this answer is that the law of Moses didn't just require 10%, it required indeed about 23.5%. And so you can't really say you're putting somebody under the law because the law would have required more than simply 10%. Another point is that New Testament texts that are often cited to disprove tithing are talking about special offerings, not regular giving. The passage that we read a moment or so ago from 2 Corinthians, that is not talking about their weekly offerings. That's talking about a special offering that was given to the poor Christians in Judea. And so this is why Paul says to give whatever God lays on their heart. He's talking about a special offering. We do the same thing with special offerings all the time. We have what we call a love fund here at Stony Creek Church. And we say, look, if God lays it on your heart to give something for people that are struggling, people that are badly off, and the church ministers to those people in tangible ways, you know, we encourage you to do that. Whatever God lays on your heart, or to the building fund, or maybe some special project that we might have going. That's exactly what Paul did, and that's what we do here at Stony Creek Church. The fourth thing is, Jesus himself encouraged tithing. When rebuking the Pharisees, Jesus said, look at this verse, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. He's scolding the Pharisees. He says, you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Obviously, if you're tithing but neglecting justice and mercy and faith, something is seriously wrong. The guy who says, well, you know, yeah, I do run an abortion clinic, but I tithe. You know, I mean, God is not going to smile on that kind of thing. But on the other hand, Jesus commended them for tithing not just their income, but everything they had. And it's interesting, in that chapter, Jesus doesn't have much good at all to say about the scribes and Pharisees. This is the one positive thing that he says, and he encourages it. Now, some people will say, well, yeah, but Jesus is speaking here to people who are still under the law of Moses. This is before the cross. Now, things are different. We're no longer under the law. Of course, that is true. The Apostle Paul makes that very clear later in the New Testament. But notice in the same book of Matthew, what Jesus says to his disciples after he rises from the dead. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. He says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. That includes what he said about tithing. Jesus' teaching during his earthly ministry is definitely for Christians today, and he endorsed tithing. Now, many of you, I know, here at Stony practice tithing. When you do that, you're following in the footsteps of Abraham and the directives of Jesus himself. When we ask people to commit to tithe when they become members, this is why we're doing it. Many give more than a tithe because God has blessed them in a way that they can do that, and the Lord honors that. The Lord wants us to look at this as an act of worship, not simply paying a bill. Here's what Debbie and I do, and what I encourage everyone to do. It's kind of like a little financial rule of thumb. Give 10%, save 10%, and live on 80%. Now, if this seems impossible for you, one of the things I'd strongly encourage you to do is to look at your lifestyle. Maybe there needs to be some adjustments made there. Maybe you're living beyond your means. If you're in debt, find a plan for getting out of debt. Let me strongly encourage, this is good for anybody, not just people that are struggling with debt, but to look at Crown Financial Ministries, their website at crown.org. They have all kinds of great resources for how to help manage your money, how to get out of debt. There are other means of doing that as well, Christian debt counselors and stuff like that. But I would start with the resources of Crown. Now, obviously, if you're laid off or you're out of work, you can't give or you can't save when there's no income. But you can still tithe of your time and your talents to the Lord's work. Let's look at the third reason for not tithing. Number three on your outline. I can't afford to tithe. This probably should have been number one, huh? I saved the best for last. And of course, I understand this one. When the money isn't there, how can you give it? And yet, this reason for not tithing is the real crux of the issue. Faith in God to meet all your needs. The fact is that Jesus told us to really go way beyond tithing. Jesus taught us not to just give 10%, but to give 100%. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Let's read this one together. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. So Jesus didn't teach just 10%, he taught 100%. The tithe is just the part that we give directly to the Lord's work. Really, our whole, we got to think in terms of our whole lives being dedicated to God. The issue is really an issue of our faith in God to provide our needs, because he does promise that when we give, he will indeed meet all our needs. We just need to trust him. Let's go back to that verse we started with, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Look again at this. Look what God says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. You know, other places in the Old Testament, God says, don't test me. Don't put me to the test. But in this specific case, we have an exception. God says, do test me in this. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it, enough for it. God promises to meet all our needs, and we really just need to trust him. Tithing is not the end. It's a way of showing that we're surrendering ourselves to the Lord, our time, our talents, our treasures. And so, if you say, well, I can't afford to tithe, the real answer from the biblical perspective is you can't afford not to tithe. You learn to tithe when you have not a lot, but when it's a struggle to do so. Mother Teresa said, if you give what you do not need, it isn't giving. Well, that's convicting, isn't it? Debbie and I started tithing when we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And God has always provided. Look at what the world's first billionaire said about tithing. John D. Rockefeller. He said, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week. Now, which do you think was harder to give away? Well, there you go. Folks, Jesus died for us. He died for you, for me. He paid the penalty for our sins, and then he arose from the dead. He did that so that anyone who trusts in him would not perish, would not go to hell, but have everlasting life. He gave his all for us, and those who follow him, he asks us to give our all to him. Is that you? If not, it can be. Our main idea today is giving a tenth is a part of giving your all. If you're not giving a tenth, you certainly can't be giving your all, can you? In closing, I want you to hear a brief testimony from somebody here at Stony Creek Church. John and Sherry Barolo, they're sitting back there. They have shared this with me. And I was moved by it, and so I talked with John earlier this week and asked if he would come up here and tell you this little testimony. But then he said, you know, I'm not the public speaking type, so I'm, you know, just not too crazy about that. So I said, well, could you type it up? And I'd be glad to read it for you. He says, that's great. I'll do that. So picture that man with the glasses in the second from the last row standing up here and reading this to you, speaking these words to you. This is what he had to say. Randy has asked me to give a brief testimony on tithing. My wife, Sherry, and I have always been givers, but never 10%. After all, who can really afford to give 10% of their pay to the Lord? We would all be broke before you know it. We paid all the bills, set aside money for food, essentials, entertainment, and savings. Then we determined what we thought would be a fair amount to give to the Lord. As we received any pay increases, we increased the amount of our giving each time, too. Again, determining what we felt was fair, and besides, so many others in the church were already giving, they could just do fine with what we were giving. Very true, the church was surviving and even growing despite us not actually giving back 10%. All was good. We were cheerful givers. The church was doing okay, and we felt proud that we were giving to the Lord, especially when we knew there were so many others out there in the world that gave nothing. Last December, that all changed. In late December, I felt the Lord was leading us to actually start tithing. I approached Sherry to get her feelings on the matter, and she immediately said, yes, let's do it. We prayed about it and felt that it was time to start trusting God in this area. So this past January, we began to give 10% of our income to the Lord. Not 10% after taxes either, but on the gross pay. We both felt really good that we had begun this. Admittedly, we both began to do it out of obedience. It was at times tough to actually put that amount of money into the offering bag each pay, but obediently we continued. Everything was going along smoothly, too. Bills were all paid. We had money for food and essentials. We did have to make some cutbacks here and there to adjust to the new budget, but the Lord was faithful in meeting our needs. The first 3 months of the year were just a training for the test in faithfulness to come. In March of this year, both Sherry and myself had our hours cut to 28 hours a week. We were upset at first, as you can imagine, but we did not panic. We had less to give, but we still wrote out the check after the first 20-hour, 8-hour pay. I recall listening to Sherry as she was doing the bills. I could hear her at the table saying, "Seriously?" I said, "What?" Oblivious to me, she again exclaimed, "Seriously?" This time louder. I said, "What?" She said, "Well, I have gone over everything twice. All the bills are paid, and we still have such and such left over." We were both pleasantly surprised, to say the least. I have heard all the excuses, all the rationalizations on why we really don't have to tithe. I have said every one of them over the years repeatedly, but I am here to tell you that He is faithful in meeting all our needs. I don't expect that we will not have hardships along the way, but I do feel better when the offering bag goes by and I know the Lord is pleased with us for trusting in Him. Well said. Well said. Well said. Thank you. Well, we're going to conclude our service, so I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare for this morning's offering, and the musicians, vocalists will come up and lead us in a closing song. Why don't we stand together? You can pass the bag while you stand. back in a church where I used to attend, they said, why don't we stand so you can dig deeper into your pockets? But I could never be that corny, so I won't say that. Father, thank you for all that you give to us. And Lord, I pray for the person that might be here today who's saying, you know, I've never made a commitment of my life to Jesus Christ. I pray for that person. And even from a message about giving financially, that person might say, you know, I need the Lord. I need to be saved. The one who gave everything for me, I need him. And I need to give my all to him. I pray that that person would receive Christ as his personal Savior today. I pray that he'd come forward and talk to the people that will be down here in the front, ready to help and talk and pray with him or her. Or for any person who might be struggling in some way today or have some questions or just need some prayer, I pray for each and every person in that state that they'd have the courage to come forward and do that today with Ron and Mary and Dave Chase down here in the front. Father, I pray for our congregation, that all of us would be like you, givers. And we'd give our all to you, as you've told us to do. And we'd give the part to the Lord's work that you ask of us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.